This is Locomotion on KVNF. I'm Gavin Dahl. Coming up, a conversation about rural broadband with Virgil Turner, Regional Broadband Project Director for the nonprofit Region 10, and Tamara Chung, a reporter for the journalist-owned news outlet, The Colorado Sun. Virgil Turner from Region 10 joins me here safely distanced at Studio M in Montrose. Thanks for stopping by.
It's great to be here, Gavin.
Tamara Chung from The Colorado Sun is joining us by phone. Thanks so much for your time, Tamara.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
This half hour, I'm hoping we can cover why further broadband development is significant for rural Colorado and look at a few big related stories. As Tamara reported in The Sun, more than a dozen different organizations, government agencies, and even competitors worked together last month to make sure the Cameron Peak Fire wouldn't knock out the internet around Estes Park. $6 million is flowing from the U.S. Department of Agriculture to build fiber that will connect Moffett, Eagle, and Grand counties. Elevate, the fiber internet subsidiary of the Delta Montrose Electric Association, is getting $2 million in state funds here, and the governor is asking for $160 million for broadband in the next state budget. Let me start with better introductions for each of you. Virgil, for folks unfamiliar with the nonprofit Region 10, what is the geography you cover, and what has your role as Regional Broadband Project Director shown you about the importance of fast internet in these rural areas?
Sure. Region 10 is probably a name many of your listeners have heard. They may not know what it is, but it, as you mentioned, Gavin, it's a nonprofit. We act as a council of governments for six counties in western Colorado. Those are Delta, Montrose, San Miguel, Ouray, Hinsdale, and Gunnison counties. That's a pretty large territory, about the size of the state of Connecticut, if you were comparing it to a state back east. We work with our county and municipal governments within those six counties on a slew of different projects and programs. We do help them with transportation planning. In fact, that's how Region 10 got its start, working amongst the governments on transportation planning. We are the area agency on aging. We do small business development counseling. And we have a very robust revolving loan fund. And we're launching into community development planning for our governments, which has been extremely important in these days of COVID. And just 5 years ago, we started working in a new area of broadband. In my role as the regional project director, we have a very robust broadband network that covers 475 miles of fiber throughout our six counties. That network provides a lower cost service or a service alternative to our ISPs, the internet service providers, that are doing the great job of supplying last mile connections to all of our residents.
And Tamara, for those unfamiliar with the Colorado Sun, it's such a unique news organization because it was started by journalists, is owned by journalists. Talk about what it means for you to be part of this still relatively new journalism institution as a co-founder and why you've taken such an interest in reporting on high-speed internet as one of your beats.
Sure, Gavin. So the Colorado Sun is a little more than 2 years old. We started, you know, really to promote, you know, good local vetted reporting, and felt like the traditional business models didn't necessarily help that because, you know, you obviously have to have a lot of profits to keep the owners and investors happy. But here at the Sun, you know, we are the owners. So everything we do is for, you know, what we believe in, which is local journalism and the community. And we're able to cover, you know, the big policy changes in the state and stuff that may not be as covered, as well covered, because there are fewer news organizations in our smaller communities. But my background is covering technology. So I've been a tech reporter for more than two decades, was covering it at the Denver Post, and have always loved, I don't know why, I've just always liked covering broadband as well, because I think it's a very consumer technology that people can understand. And covering it for the Sun, I've really tried to, you know, write about what's happening in other parts of the state rather than just the Front Range when it comes to broadband. So The state really has this big effort to make sure folks in rural communities have that basic service of internet, and not just, you know, dial-up or DSL, but hoping for actual broadband speeds of 25 megabits. And so there's actually been a lot of interesting news in the past year or so with federal broadband grants, and then projects like Project Thor, which I think we're going to be talking more about, and Virgil mentioned, and just these little pieces happening all over the state. It's really fascinating how local folks are supporting their local broadband service.
Well, Virgil, let me start with you. What do we know about the communications outage that impacted a couple thousand people in Gunnison County and Hinsdale County on November 12th?
Well, about 8:15, 8:17, I think, exactly, Region 10's network detected an outage. Immediately, we contacted our service provider in Gunnison County, which is Lumen, and found that it was a widespread outage.
Lumen, formerly known as CenturyLink.
Exactly. Thank you. What we know is a fiber cable that connects Montrose to Gunnison that many different services run over was actually cut. All strands on that fiber cable were cut.
Was this by mistake?
Typically, fiber cuts are by mistake. There's a lot of effort that goes into protecting those assets. I don't have a lot of details on the actual accident, but it is typically not done on purpose.
But it caused a complete outage. 911 services, cell phones, landlines, and of course, internet.
Exactly. Many of us, with our situation in Gunnison County, we rely heavily on Lumen services, which is providing those services to lots of different people, including 911 services. And so when something like this happens, it's a big deal. Immediately I was trying to communicate with folks that my stakeholders in Gunnison, and they were not able to hear from me because of this outage. So we were working diligently to make sure that service was restored. When you have a fiber cut, you actually have to call in line locates, and it's not something you can just start digging because there may be other assets that you have to protect. And so they were very diligent about doing this and got an emergency line locate order out, but it still takes time. And so by 6:30, service predominantly was restored and all of our systems came back up. But it was a long day for those folks in Gunnison County.
And as we heard on the KVNF regional newscast from Christopher Biddle at the KBUT newsroom in Crested Butte, literally folks had to go in person to contact law enforcement or ask for a fire truck. It doesn't sound like there was any major emergency response delay that day, thankfully.
Exactly.
But a big story. Talk about Project Thor, which Tamara highlights in her article about Estes Park. What is the Northwest Colorado Council of Governments up to, and who gets credit for the cool name?
My colleague, counterpart with another council of governments like Region 10 in the Northwest counties of Colorado, have a network much like Region 10's network that is trying to meet the same mission of Region 10 by bringing additional services, redundant paths of internet to the counties in the Northwest Colorado COG. My colleague, Nate Wolowitz, who Tamara has interviewed several times, and in fact, in her last article, highlighted some of his comments, works on, much like I do, with those governments and municipal governments and counties in that area, as well as service providers. So this is... this is a trend. The Region 10 network and Northwest COG are probably the most advanced regional networks in Colorado. We do have some other networks that are looking, following our lead. And we're one of our big projects Nate and I are working on is trying to connect our networks together to be able to benefit from aggregated services, as well as the gaining redundancies and bringing additional services at lower cost to all of our users.
Well, Project Thor is on our side of the Continental Divide, so I really liked that twist of folks on the West Slope helping out allies on the Front Range. Tamara, your story for the Colorado Sun shed light on how unique it was for all these stakeholders basically making an emergency handshake deal as the Cameron Peak Fire burned their way. Can you talk about what happened?
Yeah, so what happened is, just as Virgil mentioned, the Lumen line getting cut in Montrose over there, you know, Josh Kramer, who helps out, he's actually with Trailblazer Broadband, which is the community municipal network in Estes Park. You know, he saw the Cameron Peak Fire burning closer. And on the morning of October 17th, you know, he was already fretting about, you know, well, what happens if our big line gets cut? So a similar line from Lumen also runs through Estes Park. But if that line gets cut, Estes Park's emergency services, mobile service, you know, internet service, of course, would all be down. So he was thinking, how can we make, you know, get some sort of backup redundant line in case those other lines go down? And honestly, it sounds like he just went online. You know, he had reached out to Platte River Power Authority, and they were wondering how they could fix this as well. And I'm not quite sure, but he told me he Googled sort of redundancy, and he found Project Thor, and he found Nate Wolowitz's email or phone number and called him. And Nate calls him back 15 minutes later. So Nate obviously is connected to the whole western side of this western slope side of the redundant line that Project Thor is. And Nate just basically said, hey, if you can get a line over here, we'll connect you so you'll have another backup. And that's when, you know, this is just in the morning hours of October 17th when the Cameron Peak Fire was approaching.
Virgil, now, of course, you know Nate, so you know this isn't that big of a shock to hear that he would be such an ally. But isn't it pretty unusual for handshake last-minute deals to happen of any kind in this industry?
In my experience, nothing happens fast. Many times these projects sometimes span years, and being impatient is not a character trait that works well with broadband managers. But when we are faced with something, an emergency like the Cameron Peak Fire, it is something that brings everybody together, and we find ways of working together. I'm really impressed with how everyone came together. We've got federal agencies involved that said, yes, we see the value in this. The protection of human life and property takes precedence over sometimes our legal constraints, perhaps.
My guests are reporter Tamara Chung from the Colorado Sun, based in the Denver area, and Virgil Turner, regional broadband project director for the nonprofit Region 10, based in Montrose. I should mention, for full disclosure, Region 10 is an underwriter of KVNF programming, and I am personally a paying subscriber of the Colorado Sun. Here locally, DMEA, the Rural Electric Co-op, has a fiber internet subsidiary known as Elevate. Last month, we learned the Colorado Department of Regulatory Affairs is granting $2 million to Elevate to help provide gigabit service to underserved areas. The funds are intended to help construct more network coverage for rural residents southwest of Montrose in Beaver Hill and north and east of Cedar Edge in Cedar Mesa. According to a press release, there are still numerous steps left before Elevate can secure the funding and begin construction, but the grant awards mean rural residents are now one step closer to better internet access. Virgil, you worked at the city of Montrose before you went to work for Region 1, and you've been watching Elevate grow from nothing more than an idea. Would you talk about the trajectory of the project, which just became available in my neighborhood in the past few weeks, and what they've accomplished?
Sure. Region 10 works with many, many stakeholders and partners. That's the way that we get things done. And broadband is no different in that. we find that infrastructure throughout the Western Slope, many times where it's lacking because there's not a sufficient ROI for private businesses to take on these projects. And broadband has been our focus, as I said, for the last 5 years. But even before that, we had stakeholders meeting to talk about that in the 5 years preceding that. And DMEA was one of those stakeholders. So many conversations were going about on how we could change our broadband future, how we could build some equity, digital equity, with our friends on the Front Range in both cost and available service. And many of us in the region saw DMEA as a very forward-thinking cooperative. We also knew that their power market was starting to diminish. And as owners of our local electric utility, those are all concerns. And when we pitched the idea of DMEA becoming a broadband provider, it was first met with some skepticism, but it was really a grassroots effort that showed up at a board meeting of the DMEA board to say, I think 80 people showed up, when usually one or two visitors is common, and said, we think DMEA has the capacity to do this. You have the billing systems, you have the line trucks, the linemen to be able to work with this technology. You have the experience. They used to be an ISP. And so there was a lot of things that that we, the community, felt that DMEA was a perfect way for us to solve our problems.
And how does this announcement about new funds from DORA impact the Elevate story? I mean, it wasn't that long ago that gigabit fiber was a pipe dream for places like Beaver Hill and Cedar Mesa, right?
Absolutely. We've got still a lot of places in Region 10's area that are underserved, unserved, in fact, and it was just a pipe dream for many places. DMEA has a long road ahead of it, and these funds from DORA, the Department of Regulatory Agencies, through the Broadband Deployment Fund, are they're immensely important. My concern is there's not enough money to go around, but these projects of $9 million in the Broadband Deployment Fund during the summer 2020 round, Region 10 ISPs were able to snag about $5 million of that. And so that really does help DMEA extend the dollars that it takes to get those customers that are farther apart from each other. They're not a dense urban area, and they need that assistance to make that project pencil out.
What are a couple of those other ones, just briefly, besides the Elevate?
I'm really excited. In Gunnison County, the town of Marble, which I have been working on, I think one of my first calls with a stakeholder in Marble called and said, is there any way that we can do a project? Is there some way that we can get broadband to our little valley? And it's going to be a game changer for Marble. If you've been to Marble, it's so scenic and beautiful. And to think about being able to live there and work for any company or yourself to have sufficient broadband to be able to live and work just like you were downtown Denver, it's going to be amazing. The other project is another local ISP, Clear Networks, that we work with a lot, one of our partners. And they are going to be doing a project along Colorado 145 in San Miguel County and around New Natarita in western Montrose County. Another game changer. These are areas that would not have broadband without these type of funds being available to them.
Just not considered a good return on investment for a private investment.
Right. And one of the things I should mention is Region 10's network doesn't have a flashy name like Project Thor, but it is a workhorse. And the projects that we do are connecting these towns together. And we go ahead of these ISPs that are going for the DORA funds later on. And without us, they would not be able to do these projects, including DMEA. We were a stakeholder with them on their project and helped them secure their availability of using this middle mile fiber that we have throughout our region.
Well, there's other exciting news for federal funding of rural broadband. Tamara wrote about it in another great article for the Colorado Sun. The Yampa Valley Electric Association became the first Colorado entity to receive federal dollars through a new U.S. Department of Agriculture program for rural broadband development, this one for Moffett, Eagle, and Grand counties. And what's the plan for the money there, Tamara?
For the Yampa Valley Electric Association, they're getting a $6 million grant from this federal Department of Agriculture, so these ReConnect grants. It's also contributing $2 million of its own, and it's building this 209-mile middle-mile service. So what that means is that big pipe that Virgil was also talking about, other ISPs can tap into and serve homes. I believe the electric co-op, Yampa Valley, will be servicing 264 homes and 27 farms, 27 businesses, and three U.S. post offices.
Nice. And Virgil, isn't DMEA still in the running for funds from that same Ag Department grant program?
Yes, we're expectant to hear word on whether they're successful or not. This is going to be another big game changer for DMEA. They have a lot of work to do, as I mentioned, and all of these grants certainly go to help them build out their network quicker than they would be able to with just their own funding.
As we keep an eye on the clock here, let's talk about the funding Governor Jared Polis is asking for in his proposal for the 2021 state budget. He's proposing $160 million for the Colorado Broadband Office, with $20 million to fund initiatives to connect Coloradans to telehealth and telemedicine, $20 million for schools and e-learning for students, and then the bulk of it, $120 million for investments in shovel-ready projects, both middle mile and last mile. Polis's budget team wrote in their proposal, quote, "All Coloradans should have equal access to affordable, fast, and reliable broadband service. A measure for rural broadband access was established in 2015. In 2016, only 73% of Colorado's rural households had access to broadband. And as of the spring of 2020, 87% of Colorado's rural households have access to broadband, defined as 25 megabits per second download and 3 Mbps upload. This is a lagging indicator the state does not directly influence. The state is indirectly improving the number of rural households with access to broadband through the DOLA and DORA programs for middle and last mile broadband infrastructure." And however, while still reading here from Polis's budget proposal, while a household might have access to broadband, the pandemic has created new demands on our broadband network statewide and are stretching its ability to deliver fast and reliable connections to the internet as multiple users in a household are on the internet at the same time. In short, the Federal Communications Commission and state standard of 25 and 3 is insufficient for the two-way interactive video needs of e-commerce, telehealth and telemedicine, or e-learning with multiple users or devices. Students, businesses, healthcare workers, and all Coloradans deserve the opportunity to access broadband that delivers speeds higher than 25 Mbps down and 3 Mbps up. However, to connect Coloradans, fiber and other technologies must be deployed in high-cost project areas of the state. So that's from the budget proposal documents from Governor Polis's office. Virgil, how big a deal would it be for projects around the state if the Joint Budget Committee and the legislature get on board with Governor Polis's request for $160 million in the next year?
Maybe the best way to answer that is to give you some perspective on the funding that we have available now. As I mentioned, the DORA Fund in the summer round, this is coming from a redirection of high-cost support mechanism dollars that used to pay for high-cost telephone lines, plain old telephone lines that were at high-cost addresses. The legislature diverted that money to broadband a number of years back that became the Broadband Deployment Fund. That is a fund that is diminishing. We all pay into that with our with a high-cost support mechanism line on our telephone bills, but that those landlines are diminishing, and so we're seeing that number decrease. In the the middle mile projects funded by DOLA or Department of Local Affairs, the second state grant fund. That's the area that I work in middle mile. In that area, DOLA has had had the benefit of $5 million per year across the state in rural areas on middle mile projects. That's $25 million over 5 years has been designated for that. With this stimulus bill, that stimulus project that Governor Polis has announced, that $25 million would go up to $120 million, plus the $5 million a year that we already have in it. That's huge. We have got pent up projects that we have been thinking about. How can, as I said, how can we connect Project Thor to Region 10? How can we connect the Southwest Colorado COG to those three networks? By connecting all of those networks, we bring our costs down. By owning those networks, we eliminate a big factor in the cost, the wholesale cost of broadband throughout Western Colorado, to bring equity with us, with our neighbors on the Front Range. So it's a huge deal, Gavin.
And Tamara, is that something that you're going to be following at the Sun?
Oh, definitely.
What about this new report from the governor's office released October 30th that says Colorado should consider regulating broadband as a utility? CPR writes that if lawmakers decide to do that, it could give the state new power over the cost and availability of internet service. Do you guys think this could happen anytime soon?
I think the momentum on getting changes to bring broadband to our community is that those changes are in the air, and people have the momentum to make those things happen. Broadband is, and telecommunications overall, is typically regulated by the FCC or at the federal level. There are many things that states can do to govern themselves, but in federal law, telecommunications is one of those things that the FCC still retains a lot of power in. And so making broadband a tier one utility would bring it into regulation. But I believe to get the biggest bang for the buck, that needs to be done at the FCC. We'll see. With a new administration, we may see some changes in that. Whether it will be, we'll see big changes within the work that I do, I'm not sure. We're plowing through and making things happen with under the current regulations that we're under.
And Tamara, you know, we had three more municipalities receive approval from voters to be exempted from the statutory restriction on providing broadband or telecom services: Berthoud, Denver, and Eaglewood in this last election. I believe that brings the total number of municipalities to 115 around the state that have exempted themselves from this kind of arcane state legislation that was backed by the big cable and phone companies to try to limit competition from public providers. Tamara, what's next for this public utility debate from your perch?
Well, I would say, honestly, it doesn't really matter to me personally as a journalist which way it goes, because I will cover it either way, you know, whether broadband's a utility or not. But I would point out that if you look at who's been pushing broadband coverage, especially in rural areas, it hasn't been the commercial providers, because they, you know, they can't get the return on their investment. You look at, you know, anything from the Estes Park emergency line, you know, that was started by Trailblazer, which is a municipal-owned broadband network owned by the local utility. And Project Thor, that's a coalition of a bunch of local governments. So the thing is, because commercial companies did not step up to do that, you know, local communities are doing it themselves.
Really appreciate your time, Tamara. My guests on Local Motion today have been Virgil Turner, Regional Broadband Project Director for the nonprofit Region 10, and Tamara Chung, reporter for the journalist-owned news outlet, The Colorado Sun. Thank you both so much for speaking with KVNF.
It's great to be here, Gavin.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was fun.